This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us Chris Preston.
And I'm Stuart Burks.
Now, Chris, you were in the Merchant Navy, was it?
No way.
No way.
Well, I was from the Royal New Zealand Navy.
Okay. And when did you go into the Navy?
On the 4th of February 1954.
Okay. So what did that... And how old were you when you...
15 years and 5 months.
Okay. Was that extremely young for that, or the normal age to go?
The entry age at that time was 15 years, 3 months.
Okay. So you'd wanted that for a long time and you grabbed it as soon as you could, or were you kicked out of school?
Yes, I did want it for a couple of different reasons. Mm. And the first of them was my grandfather joined the Royal Navy at the age of 15 years, 7 months. And he used to tell me some stories about his time in the Royal Navy.
Was that during the First World War?
Well, he joined in, I can't remember the exact date, but it was January 1899.
Oh, wow. Joined. And he told you a lot about that, the sort of ships he sailed in?
Not lots, because I didn't see him all that often.
Yeah.
But he certainly told one or two stories that piqued my interest.
Okay.
And both of his arms were covered in tattoos.
Okay, yeah.
And there's one in particular that I always admired.
Yeah.
And that was of a pirate extended from his knuckles, on his right knuckles, up the length of his forearm.
Okay.
I love that.
And you've no tattoos on your forearm. You've got one tattoo on your upper arm. Yep.
No, and another one.
Butterfly, moth. And another one above that. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, which is
that
the,
was my first tattoo.
The first tattoo is what? Maori design, is it?
No, it's an anchor.
Oh, okay.
With a butterfly.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other one was a butterfly with a woman's face.
Okay.
But both of them I got when I was 18.
Yeah.
Only just legally of age to be able to get a tattoo.
Okay.
And both of them were as a result of a drunken run ashore by a young Navy sailor, namely myself.
So you woke up in the morning and suddenly found you had a tattoo?
Well, not quite, because I knew I'd had that.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Mm. And was there any reason you chose those designs?
As I said, I was drunk.
okay. Yeah. So how did you find it? There was a big crowd of young people in the Navy and you just got on well together and did whatever?
Yes or no.
Yeah. Was it what you expected?
Yes or no.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I was, before I joined the Navy, my latter two and a half years at school, I was in the Sea Cadet Corps.
Okay.
Which is run on Navy lines, Navy uniforms, Navy, everything Navy.
Yeah. Where was that based?
That was based, the unit that I was in was based in Avondale in Auckland.
Okay.
And we quite often on weekends we went out to French Bay on the shores of the Manukau Harbour and did our whatever we're going to do for that day, whether it be sailing or learning semaphore or general seamanship or whatever.
So, was that voluntary or everyone got into it? No. Okay, so not part of school, something after school or?
School was Army Cadets.
Okay.
And I used to feel like an idiot dressed with a khaki jacket on at school.
Oh. So let's get the time.
For Army Cadets, thinking, I'm in the...
Oh, you're in the
Sea Cadets? I'm in the Sea Cadets. What am I doing wearing a khaki uniform?
Mm-hmm.
So was the Sea Cadet sort of a bit like the Scouts or something? Is something you did after it? No?
Well, yes and no. Scouts were sort of different.
They were
purely civilian.
Whereas,
and the Sea Scouts were purely sort of civilian as well. Whereas the Sea Cadet Corps was based on the Navy.
So was it big? Were there many people involved in that?
In our particular division, no, there weren't many people involved.
Okay.
Not a great number. But it certainly stood me in great stead for when I did join the Navy. And I was determined that was going to be my career.
So how long were you in the Sea Cadet? How old were you when you joined the Sea Cadet?
Joining age was 12.
Okay.
And as I said, I joined the Navy at 15 years, 5 months.
Straight through, And they saw it as a channel into the Navy? And
not necessarily.
No. Did it give you any boost in the Navy in terms of the options they gave you because of your time?
Not really. No. Because when I joined the Navy, I joined as a seaman boy second class.
Okay.
In other words, I was below the age of 18. And then I had the option at one stage. We did a certain amount of schooling originally in the Navy, and the first few months was just basic seamanship and all that sort of thing, learning how to sail and row, and which I'd already learned in the Sea Cadets, and that sort of thing. But I had joined with the express ambition of being a signalman.
Which would involve then the Morse code, semaphore, the flags?
But Morse code was by light, not... No other way. And then we did some schooling, ordinary schoolwork, in the first few months. And despite the fact that I detested school when I was before I joined the Navy, I did fairly well at it. Some of us were classed as being a bit sort of brainier than the rest. Because let's face it, some of my classmates, when I joined the Navy, had been in front of the magistrate, and the magistrate had said, you've got a choice. You either go to Borstal or you join the Navy.
And now they talk about boot camps.
So some of my classmates were really rough young boys.
Yeah. Was that a shock for you, meeting
them? Yes, because I was an only child.
Yeah.
It was a shock.
So how did you get on? You learned quickly how to go?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Which involved what? You had to stand up for yourself and fight? Or just...
No. It was case of learning how to get on with other people.
Yeah.
In other words, when your class, someone in your class was discipline for something, and the whole class was punished. Not just that person, but the whole class.
Okay.
And it didn't matter whether you were actually there at the time of the offence or not.
Ah, so that's teaching you the whole teamwork and responsibility for the group, and don't let everyone else down. Yeah.
And within a few days of joining the Navy, I had to go to the dentist, finish with the dentist, and I rejoined the class, which at the time was being punished because somebody had got out of line. And they were doubling up and down the hill at the training establishment. And my instructor said
to join them, yeah.
Join them. They're being punished. I said, but I wasn't even here. Shut up and join them. You're part of the class.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Okay. So how then would the class respond to the person who got them in that situation in the first place?
Well, dependent on the person and the situation and everything else.
Yeah. Okay. But it built up a good team spirit?
Oh, it had to.
In
fact, I'm still in contact with some of those that joined the Navy with me.
Yeah.
There's roughly 32, 15 and 16-year-olds. And now there's about 5 of us that still keep in contact. Most of the others are either dead or well and truly out of contact.
Which means that they'd all, and now they'd all be, if they're alive, they'd be, what, 85 now? Would it be?
86 would be the youngest.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was only 2 months over the age. And I'm closer to 87 than I am to 86.
So that's beyond the expected life of people born there. So
yes,
but he kept you fit, which kept you alive longer, I take it.
At the age of 18, I was just about classed as an alcoholic.
From the Navy, because of drinking in the Navy, you mean? Or
well,
that's
because the Navy, you know, the
lifestyle.
Armed forces, sort of.
Now, and then, did you have a rum ration in the Navy?
Oh, you weren't entitled to that until the age of 20.
Oh, okay. So how did was it underage drinking or was it just?
Definitely underage drinking.
Mm. So what was the drinking age then?
When we went ashore somewhere.
Yeah. So you mean as 15, 16-year-olds, you were going drinking and no problem being served and no...
Yes,
okay,
and
what was the system? So how did you go about it?
Well, I just walked into a pub. A particular memory of mine is two of us going into a pub in Fremantle in Western Australia, walking in. This is sort of fairly early in the day, and there were two barmaids in there. They took one look at us and said something, and then noticed New Zealand on our shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
So one turned around to the other and said, are you willing to serve these men? And they both nodded. So we sat down and we're having a quiet drink, talking to each other at a table, not at the actual bar. And in walked a policeman. Took one look at us and started walking over. Once again, he noticed the New Zealand on the shoulder flashes. Looked across at the barmaids, and the barmaids by this time were almost shaking in fear. And then he turned around and walked out. That was one example of getting away with it.
Saving an international diplomatic incident.
And another example would be four of us were in the Esplanade Hotel in Devonport having a beer, quiet beer. Two of us were 20 and the other two were 19. The local policeman walked in, took a look at the four of us, told me and the other 20-year-old to get out and left the two younger ones there.
Because you looked younger than the others.
So 3 days later, I walked back into that bar, hoping he would walk back in. Mm. Because 3 days later was my 21st birthday. But yeah, much to my disgust, he did not come back in.
Oh, well. But you said you'd become an alcoholic.
Mm.
And that, was there any repercussion from that in the Navy? Or?
Yes, because as a partial result of that, I know what it's like to be on the wrong side of the bars and in a Navy suit.
Okay, yeah. Was that a wake-up call?
Not really.
Okay.
No, you can't really call it a wake-up call. Yeah. Although I virtually got off with all the charges I could have been charged with. Yeah.
So
and I was very, very pleased that that happened.
Yeah, yeah, because it would have affected your career and everything, I suppose. But
well, it depended on the ultimate charge.
Yeah.
Because I was expecting to be sent out to the services corrective establishment at Ardmore.
Yeah.
Which at that time was rumoured to be the toughest prison in New Zealand.
Okay.
And if I had have been sentenced to 28 days there, would have meant that I would still be in Navy. If I had been sentenced to 29, would have meant that on the 29th day I'd be discharged from the Navy.
And how old were you then this was happening?
18.
So, and clearly you got over the alcoholism. Was that something that happened much later? Or
much later.
Much
much okay. later. Okay. It just meant that I didn't drink whiskey for a few years after that.
Okay, yeah. And that was part of the whole Navy culture, was it? Just the heavy drinking?
Yeah, Armed Forces.
Armed Forces.
Yeah. Not just Navy, Army.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And to a lesser extent, Air Force.
So in your time in the Navy, we've heard about the leisure time. But did you travel much? Or?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Mm.
So where did it take you?
To about 23 different countries around the world in my career.
And this was as a signalman?
No. What?
No? You wanted to be a signalman?
Mm-hmm. But I didn't become a signalman.
Okay. What did?
I became a telegraphist.
Ah, okay.
Because, as I was saying, some of us were deemed to be a bit brighter.
Yeah. Despite the alcohol, yeah. Okay.
well, at that stage, no, because there's no alcohol training
establishment. Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's only when we, on the odd occasion, that we were allowed ashore.
Yeah, okay. Now, when you say ashore...
Ashore.
Was your training establishment, was it a land-based ship? Yeah. Or so ashore...
A land-based ship.
So ashore meant leaving the base.
Mm.
Okay.
In other words, a land-based ship was Her Majesty's New Zealand ship, Tamaki.
Okay.
Which was on Motuhi Island in the Hauraki Gulf.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And going ashore meant going over to the mainland.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of us set an educational test, which was called Educational Test 2.
Mm.
And it was a Royal Navy type thing, because at the time the Royal New Zealand Navy was made up of more people born in the UK than there were born in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Very definitely. A lot of them being on loan from the British Navy, or a lot of them having done their time in the British Navy and then came out to New Zealand and joined our Navy, or the secondators, or whatever. And to my surprise, I passed that test. And then there was another test higher up.
Mm.
And I passed that one too. One of the few out of the 30 odd of us that joined that did pass it. out of the brighter of us, they selected a few to undergo communication training. Mm-hmm. As opposed to being seamen, we were going to be in the communications branch.
Okay.
There were five of us. One didn't last very long at all. He only lasted a few weeks, and he reverted back to being a seaman. So there were four of us, and we did sort of common communications training, a bit of signalman duties and a bit of telegraphist duties. Then we got to the stage where we had to decide which we wanted to be.
So the difference between the two, one was with flags and lights, and
visual communications.
Yeah, visual
communications. The other was wireless communications.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But by this stage, I'd had a taste of the wireless communications as well. So when this was before one of them had to revert back to being a seaman.
Yeah.
So the five of us, and we were given the option. Hands up, those that wanted to be signalmen. Two hands went up.
Yeah.
Hands up, those that wanted to be telegraphists. Another two hands went up. What am I going to do? I joined the Navy specifically to be a signalman. But I think being a telegraphist would be a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because I won't be up
inside
the burning sun or anything else. I'd be sheltered inside. And so I became a telegraphist. So that meant the whole five of us were going to become telegraphists. Then at that stage, the fifth one dropped out because he just wasn't making the grade.
Yeah.
So the four of us.
Yeah. Okay.
There weren't enough to have a class of signalmen and a class of telegraphists.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm. So then on each ship, there'd be what, two telegraphists?
No.
No.
Depended on the ship.
Okay. Yeah.
So two ships that I've been on.
Yeah.
There were no signalmen at all, and one telegraphist. And the telegraphist did any signalman type duties that.
Because you all trained in both, anyway. Yeah.
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 And yet another ship, so you had a chief telegraphist, you had about five petty officer telegraphists.
Okay.
It's going down. And then you had half a dozen or more leading telegraphists.
Okay. So you were onto smaller ships?
A real mixture.
This is part one. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.